Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and blessings to all. Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Star Seed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. Our guest tonight is Dan Sturgis, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, how did your day go today?
Well, watching the snow melt on the way home, so that was a good thing.
I don't know. I haven't seen any snow melting today.
Yeah, well, it did. It's when you have so much, it just takes a while. See, there was an article in the paper recently about there are this undercurrent of protests that are beginning to pop up about the direction that we're taking with artificial intelligence. And after all, we're living in a world where everything is controlled by smart devices, and now the robotics is getting to the point where you're going to have robotic pets, and you're going to have robotic domestic help. And you're going to have, where does it end? What do you feel about the direction we're heading in?
I think it's dangerous. I think it's terribly, terribly dangerous. Everybody in the big corporate world of computers, computing, intelligence, all this kind of stuff, they're all on the money bandwagon of how much money can I make with this stuff. Samsung's CEO, Moon Kyung-yung, if I said his name right, he calls this the era of IoT, the Internet of Things. And everything is on the Internet, and everything is available on the Internet, and it's sucking us in, and it's sucking the life, literally, out of us. And we are becoming robots. Even though we're sitting there with the iPhones and the iPads and the this and the that, we're all mesmerized by what's on it, and we're not paying attention to what's going on around us.
Yeah, I think that the biggest danger is that we're moving closer and closer to this shutdown of our senses. You know, the sensory shutdown is a real thing, and that we no longer need to rely on our senses, both our physical senses and our non-physical senses, so to speak. So, when a lot of people, it's instant information. Our devices, can heat our home and drive our cars, and there's no reason to contemplate the big picture because who needs a big picture? We have everything right
well,
in front of us.
We've been convinced we don't need the big picture. It's all in the marketing and what you see on TV and what you hear on the radio. And remember, the other thing that's going on, particularly in the United States, is the regulations that allowed every little tiny business to have their say on the airwaves. And now the big corporations own all the airwaves, the radios, the newspapers, the TV stations. So they're controlling the information that you get. They want you controlled.
Yeah. Well, it's this feeling of, the only feeling of interconnectedness that we have is certainly as far from spirit as you can get. It's we're connected through the net, through the web. So yeah, everybody essentially is just becoming their own islands. You know, there's no reason to converse or have any deep conversation with others, you know, except through emails and other correspondence and tweets and, you know, and Facebook and whatever. So I think that that doesn't, it doesn't, well, it doesn't, in the future, look out well for the future generations, you know? I mean,
no, it certainly doesn't.
I mean, what's going to be in 30, 40 years from now? And then, but then again, you know, you have somewhat of a resurgence of people protesting these things and starting to question meaning. And I think a lot has to do with the times that we live in. If you're surrounded by devastation and by terrorism, by wars and people dying by the thousands, tens of thousands all over the world, you're forced into thinking about these things, the bigger picture. You know.
But they're not even giving you, the people who own all of the airwaves aren't giving you all of the truth of what all this conflict is going on throughout the world. So you really can't even wrap your head around that, even if you wanted to. But I think the interesting thing, and we've been through this over, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, where there have been people who could, because of the work that they were doing or because they were attuned to it, were able to see where we were headed down some things. And a lot of them became famous authors like Jules Verne, and that type of thing, where they were able to write their novels based on what they foresaw in the future. And we have the same thing going on. We have Stephen Hawking is one of the people who are opposed to this artificial intelligence.
I was surprised when I read that.
Yeah. The Tesla founder, Elon Musk, opposed to this stuff because they're working in this field. They know how dangerous it could be. They know how it can get out of control and that we will be nothing.
Yeah. You know, I'm currently reading a book, and the author will be a future guest on the show. The book is called Talking with the Dead, and the author is Barbara Weisberg. And it's not a new book. It was written in 2004, but it's about the Fox sisters, you know, in mediumship. And it's a lot of history involved, you know, in the time. And, you know, I like to say that we're in the midst of, like, a medium explosion now, because it's, you know, and I never thought we saw the likes of what we're seeing in the sheer number of practitioners. But I'm reminded from reading books like this that starting in 1848 and into, you know, 1850, 51, 52, there was a tremendous explosion after the Fox sisters, you know, of mediums. I mean, I saw that, like, I think it was around 1850, where almost overnight there were 10,000 mediums in Cleveland. You know, just pick one city. You know, 10,000 mediums. You know, this is in 1850, you know, and then all big cities, you know, there were mediums, you know, by the thousands. And I think a lot of that, you know, maybe it's a similar time, you know, science, the telegraph, and a lot of scientific revolution was starting, and there were a lot of advances, and yet there was a lot of divisiveness. You know, we were moving towards the Civil War. I mean, people were being divided like they've never seen before. And then, you know, you had the Civil War, and just everybody was dying in the war. And you have thousands and tens of thousands of deaths. And when you have a lot of death, that's when
you have a lot of souls and you have a lot of communication. It doesn't mean that you have a lot of mediums.
Right.
The problem is everybody thinks when they get communication, I must be a medium.
Right.
And that's the problem. So we do have a very parallel situation going on again now, because we're involved in all these wars. We're sending our troops out there. They're dying, they're getting killed, and they're communicating. And people are opening up because we're moving into this, some people call it the thinning of the veil or the shift of consciousness, but whatever it is, there's more need for the souls on the other side to communicate and give us warnings and give us guidance and stuff like that. It doesn't mean everybody should be hanging up a shingle and charging money for reading.
Yeah, well, I also think, you know, maybe for a long period of time, you know, there wasn't a lot of communication, it seems, and maybe Spirit gave up for a while, and maybe they're trying again. So, well, that's another subject. So we're going to go to a break. We have a great guest in Dan Sturgis. When we come back, we're even going to be playing some EVP on the air. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dan Sturgis. Our sponsor is Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. Bob?
And our guest tonight is Dan Sturgis. Dan had a childhood interest in ghosts and an interest in Civil War history, which led him to researching haunted locations. He originally joined Paranormal Investigations of New York City, where he became an important member of the team. His research into investigative techniques and equipment, his research into hauntings and the many theories behind them, combined with his level-headed approach, has made Dan one of the more popular media consultants in the tri-state area. He eventually co-founded the Historic Paranormal Research Group, which was a group made up of some of the better researchers on the East Coast that specialize in historically haunted locations. And this group eventually morphed into Sturgis Paranormal. Dan's been able to arrange investigations in some of New York's most notoriously haunted locations, such as the Ed Sullivan Theater, the Belasco Theater, the restaurant One If by Land, Two If by Sea, the Bartow Pell Mansion, the Merchant's House Museum, and the list goes on. Dan also co-hosts a weekly internet radio program called The Sci Show, which airs on Monday nights at 7 p.m., and I did have to mention that Dan is an accomplished actor, and when you see his beautiful face, you may recognize him from his roles in various commercials and TV series. The website is Sturgis, S-T-U-R-G-E-S, paranormal.com, or for the radio show, The Sci Show, psishow.com. Welcome, Dan. Nice to talk to you again.
Always a pleasure, guys. How are you doing?
All right, and so if I go to people on the street and I say paranormal investigation, what's going to come to mind is, you know, the people are going to think of old buildings with geeky-looking guys walking around with ghost detectors in their hands and oohing and aahing about every sound that comes up. Is this a TV perception?
Well, yes, it's a TV perception, and in a lot of cases, it's right on the money. I've been lucky enough, fortunate enough to work with a lot of people, and you know, you do run into some groups out there who enjoy a lot of equipment. And I was talking with somebody the other day, and we were saying how that you can tell how long somebody's been in the field by how much equipment they bring on an investigation. And when I was starting out, you know, with the paranormal investigation in New York City, we used to sometimes have to rent a van to bring all the stuff that we would bring on an investigation. And now when I do an investigation, I bring a knapsack and, you know, a pencil and a camera, and that's about it.
Right.
So there are people that are running around with the whole nine yards, and, you know, I've seen backpacks with batteries built into them, so you can have your ghost hunting app on your iPod charging all the time, and it gets out of hand out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people watch these shows that are, you know, these paranormal shows with these ghost hunting teams, and, you know, sometimes, I mean, I don't often, you know, get a chance to look at them, but, you know, if I catch an episode and you'll see some sound made and everybody's going crazy, and I'm thinking, I don't know, didn't sound very paranormal to me, but, you know, the music starts playing, and, you know, so I think TV does a bit of injustice to the field in a lot of respects. You agree?
I absolutely agree, but then you also have to remember that it's a TV show, it's an entertainment show, it's really, these aren't documentaries that you're watching, and they've got, I mean, you know, paranormal investigations, you can go on 100 paranormal investigations and spend hours and hours, and nothing ever happens, and that would be the most boring TV show ever if nothing ever happened on these shows. So they've got to, I think, punch up some of the drama and you know, let the people get excited about maybe hearing the floor creak and maybe that was a footstep, because who's going to tune in next week if nothing happens?
Yeah, I know. You know, you know, we're talking about investigations, and, you know, a lot of researchers investigate various types of psi phenomena. They're usually very spontaneous in nature, so they're on hand to simply collect the data, you know, and study it later. And then, you know, in mediumship, You know, only somebody that was deceptive would do a pre-investigation of the sitter. I mean, that is just something that you don't do. But in your type of work, you need to learn as much as you can about the site, you know, so, you know, before you go there. So what kind of pre-investigation information do you seek before you actually go to a site where activity was being reported?
Well, it's interesting. The places that I go to, the majority of the places I go to are historic locations, and some have landmark status. So it's actually pretty easy to go and get the history of these places. I mean, I've been on your show before, and I've talked about the Merchant's House Museum down on the Lower East Side, and I know that I know the history of that house pretty much like the back of my hand. So it's a great tool to be able to have the history of these locations. Now, when I'm first starting out at a historic location, you can go to, of course, the museum itself, the location itself, and glean as much information as you can from people that are there. You can also go to the New York Historical Society. You can go to the libraries. You can go to income tax records and learn a lot of about the house or the location. You can go to the census bureaus, and you can see who lived there, what they did. I took a great class at the big library here in the city about researching historic locations or any location, any building in the city, about how to find out who lived there, when they lived there, what they did for a living. So there's a lot of information out there that you can turn to when you're researching a site. And then, you know, as far as private homes, you can speak to the neighbors, you can speak to people that, that had lived there and say, hey, anything creepy going on in your house while you live there? And so there's a lot of resources out there.
Yeah. Do you sometimes, you know, beforehand, when you if you have access to the location, like do some look for environmental things, or take some like baseline measurements to compare it to?
Yeah. Sure. We'll go in with and when most of the stuff, and you see it on TV on the shows, is what you're looking for electromagnetic fields, not necessarily because an electromagnetic field. Is a presence of an electromagnetic field is presence of a haunting, but electromagnetic fields, especially man-made magnetic fields, alternating current AC magnetic fields, people can be hypersensitive to these magnetic fields, and it's been recreated in the lab by a doctor up in, I don't know if you've ever had him on your show, in Montreal, I think, Michael Persinger, who's doing research on how magnetic fields affect people when they're exposed, when their brain is exposed to these magnetic fields. And
right.
He's recreated haunting scenarios. He's recreated religious experiences, UFO abductions, all kinds of stuff in a controlled setting just by manipulating magnetic fields.
Yeah, I think he's also recreated the near-death experience. You know,
exactly. But, yeah. Yeah. So you look for these at a location.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you're going to look for any kind of gas leaks, naturally, and anything that's sort of out of the norm. That's what people who are experiencing a haunting, they'll key into, oh, my God, I got a cold spot. So naturally, I'm going to go in and I'm going to look for drafts. I'm going to look for, you know, a crack in a window seam. I'm going to look for cracks in floors, especially in some of these old historic homes. They have drafts coming in every single direction, and people will feel cold spots, especially if they just watched an episode of Ghost Hunters or Paranormal State, and they're talking about hot cold spots. They're gonna almost predispose to looking for a cold spot. So
right. So in a lot of cases, you're looking for spirit entities, and as opposed to you know, place memory and things of that nature. So it makes sense to have a medium with you, and I know that you do work, you know, with mediums on investigations. So tell us a little bit about that. How does that work? What role does the medium play, and how do you go about it?
Well, it's interesting because I was not a fan of mediums or psychics or psychic mediums for a long, long time. I didn't agree with bringing them on investigations. I thought that they were a distraction, and I was more about using equipment to gather data. And our friend Lloyd Auerbach really kind of changed my mind. He's become a great friend and a mentor, and you know, he swears by mediums, and I said, well, if it's good enough for Lloyd, it's good enough for me. And I met two mediums who really kind of changed my mind on the whole subject. As far as I was concerned, there's more psychos than psychics out there.
Right.
But now when I bring especially some of these historic locations, I've been contacted by many, many mediums, and if I'm going to go on an investigation, I'll ask somebody that I've never worked with before, and I won't tell them where they're going. I won't give them any information. I'll meet them at a neutral location here in the city, and won't tell them where they're, if they're going uptown, downtown, east side, west side. I just won't give them any information, and just bring them to the location cold. And tell them, listen, I'm going to follow you. I know the history of this place, and you tell me. You lead the investigation, and you can verify a lot of the information that they're giving you. I can verify in real time, right on the spot, and whether or not they're going in the right direction or just going down a dead end.
Mm. Of course, I'm thinking as you say that. The skeptic will say, "Well, okay, so Dan, the investigator, knows a history of this place, so the medium is simply reading Dan's mind." It never ends.
You know, that's entirely possible, and you know how cool would that be too? I mean,
yeah, right.
that would be neat to experience that. But I mean, there. While I do know the history of these locations very well. There is, I've you know, just can we say her name? You know, I was referring
sure.
to her.
Yeah,
Carol, who is a certified medium through the Forever Family Foundation, your foundation. I brought her on an investigation to the Merchant's House, and she was coming up with stuff that I didn't know. And we went back, and we were able to verify things. And so that was, she wasn't picking that up from me, that's for sure. She was amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's a weak argument that doesn't hold up. So when you're out on these investigations. Sometimes there are things that happen that appear to be interactive. Mm-hmm. You'll ask. I mean, I've heard you on some tapes, and maybe we'll play some. But you'll ask the spirit entity to do something, you know, and then it happens. So that would be an example. Would you term that to be a ghost?
In the field, the cool kids, Bob, are calling it apparitional hauntings these days.
Right.
On the TV shows, you'll hear them call it intelligent hauntings.
Right.
And that is some kind of interaction. And for lack of a better word, you're talking to a spirit or a ghost, traditional kind of ghost, what people, when you hear the word ghost, what they think of. But there is interaction, there is information going back and forth between the consciousness of a dead person, of somebody that's passed on. At least that's what we're hoping. That's sort of like the holy grail for paranormal investigating, and it's very rare that happens. I've been fortunate enough to be on investigations, not many, where I'm pretty sure that there has been some kind of interaction going on.
Yeah. Also going to collect EVP, you know, electronic voice phenomena. I assume you bring, you know, recording devices on these investigations.
Right.
You sent me a few, and you know, I picked out a few, and maybe we could play. But you know, the first one, you know, was a buzzing sound. But
okay.
Yeah, I hear you on the tape, mm-hmm. Asking spirit. To make these sounds. I mean, is that what? Just set that up. Where did this take place?
Okay, this was this is one of my favorites. This is at the Merchant's House Museum, and it's myself and the late great Garrett Husveth, who is with me, and he can hear him laughing in the background. This is why it's sort of a special EVP for me, a special clip to hear him laughing. We were in one of the parlors of the Merchant's House Museum, and the buzzing is from it's called a tri-field natural EMF meter, and what that does, this device, it measures fluctuations in natural electromagnetic field. So it's not measuring the strength, it's measuring the fluctuation of the magnetic field, and it does that with a buzz alert. So if we were to set it down in the middle of a room and the three of us were in the room, it would level off. It wouldn't be buzzing. It would level down to zero. And if somebody had walked into the room, it would change the magnetic field and you would get an alert off the device, a small buzz, because the magnetic field changed. So what we do is we place these different devices around a room or around a house, and we ask spirit to walk by them or touch them, wave their hand over the little blue box. You'll hear me say little blue box about 10 times in this clip, because it's a little blue box. And so, you know, we'll ask them to say, can you wave your hand over the little blue box on the mantle? Can you wave your hand over the little blue box on the windowsill, on the stairwell? And in this particular clip, we're asking it to do specific number of times. And you know, you'll hear in the clip what happens.
Okay, so hopefully we can hear it. So if Doug can play the buzz clip for us, we'll see what we can all hear.
All right, I'm just gonna ask you one more thing. If you are in this room, and I think we all have a feeling you might be, there's a little blue box sitting on the windowsill over in the corner of the room. If you approach that little blue box and wave your hand over it, or touch that blue box, it'll buzz and we'll know that you're here. So if you could just go over and just touch that little blue box or wave your hand over it three times right in a row, that would be amazing and we'd really appreciate it. So, all right, I'll shut up now. Thank you very much. You know what? Can you touch it one more time really, really quick? Just touch it. Just tap it once. Thank you very much. Wow, that's good.
I like that little thing.
That's a great example. I mean,
it's a great example, but I'll tell you, a buzz does not a haunting make. And, you know, if I'm going to be a good investigator, I have to take into consideration that could be a great example of some kind of interaction or communication, or it could be a great example of some macro PK. Maybe Garrett and I, we had enough intention, enough hope, enough will that this was going to work that actually caused that buzzing to happen, so which is equally as amazing. But I couldn't tell you guys, Bob and Fran, that is proof of a haunting. It's proof that the magnetic field changed.
Right.
Now, we were asking Spirit to do that, and it did happen on command. So I like to think it's an example of some kind of interaction, but I couldn't 100% say for sure, naturally.
Well, and another one, I mean, you hear a voice, which is a little bit harder to make the, you know, the PK explanation, mm-hmm. you know, stick.
Right.
But maybe... if we can play the afraid clip, we can hear that.
That's a good question, Sarah.
I am not afraid.
There you go. I don't know. Can we play that again? Because in case somebody missed it, it would.
That's a good question, Sarah.
I am not afraid.
Okay, so you know you clearly hear a voice saying, "I am
right.
not afraid."
And that clip has been manipulated. I've bumped that EVP up. It wasn't that easy to hear.
Yeah.
I had to boost it up, I think, by 10 decibels, actually. What's interesting about that clip is that right before you hear me say, ask a question, Sarah, we had a girl named Sarah on the investigation. And right before that happened, a colleague of mine, his name is Dan Tischer, was addressing... a possible spirit of a young girl that was in the attic of the Mershon's house again, once again. And he said, there's no reason to be afraid. We're not here to kick you out. And then just a few moments later, you hear what sounds like a little girl saying, I am not afraid. So it seemed like the direct answer to a statement that Dan had made.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Want to take a call?
Sure.
Okay.
We have Larry on line 3.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, yeah, I'd like to ask Dan, if I ask nicely, would you let me touch your little blue box?
Wow, comedian here. If he asked nicely?
Dan, yeah, it's me.
I know it's you.
How you doing?
Good, brother. How are you?
Good.
Good.
So, what I really wanted to ask, Dan, can you tell us about your feelings on demons and you know, demonic possessions and all of that?
Well, I don't really have much thoughts on that. I believe I don't. It's really hard. It's hard for me to believe that in that, and I don't want to offend anybody who's, you know, whose religion they feel strongly about that, but it's just not for me. I believe people can believe they are possessed, and that can cause some of the stereotypical possession phenomena that you see in the movies and on TV. Somehow it always seems to be, you know, goes back to The Exorcist, and people, you know, really experience things that they see on TV and in the movies if they feel that they're possessed. But then you start, you know, the argument is, what's the difference if somebody believes that they're possessed hard enough that that they start to experience phenomena or some kind of PK phenomena in a room, drawers might open, chairs, you know, furniture might move. What's the difference? You know, what's the difference if it's the devil or this person's belief in the devil that's causing that to happen?
Yeah, I'd like to get into that a little bit more after. We have to go to a break. Larry, thanks for calling in. And,
thanks, Larry.
We'll be back in a few.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
In. Our guest tonight is Dan Sturgis. Our sponsor is Star Seed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. And for a few Forever Forever Family Foundation announcements, before we get back to our guest, we are just a little bit more than a month away from our Holiday of the Earth raffle. And if you're going to want to enter right now, when I share with you that we have only 35 people who have entered this wonderful raffle, where you can win up to 5 medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Lynn LeClaire, Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Amy Utzman, or Tracy Bray. The drawing is Earth Day, April 22nd, which is just around the corner. So get your entries in now. And the annual Afterlife Exploration Retreat in Chester, Connecticut, this July 24th through 26th, is filling up early this year. The event page is up on our website. Early bird pricing ends on May 31st, but 21 of the 24 rooms are already reserved. So gather up your best friends forever and have a blast in a quad, triple, or double, or, if you like your privacy, reserve a single. All rooms have air conditioning and a full private bathroom. The new Signs of Life magazine has been showing up in mailboxes across the country, and the praises for the new design and features has been steadily coming in. If you're out of the United States, you should have received your newsletter via email. And if you did not get your newsletter either of those ways, perhaps you're not a full member of Forever Family Foundation. Time to fix that. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and click on Become a Member to complete the form. Membership is free, and we hope to see a lot of new members after this show. Also, remember to visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all of our event links, information, and registration. And please, 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 when you are there, click on the Donate button and send in your most generous contribution you can. This radio show, the newsletter, the website, and all other wonderful things that Forever Family Foundation does depends on the support of our listeners and members, as the work we do does not get us the grants and support that other not-for-profits operate on. And finally, remember to use either the Amazon link on our website when you're shopping at Amazon.com, and they'll make a donation to us for what's in your shopping cart. And if it's not Amazon that you shop in, sign up for iGive.com. Name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And when you do your shopping on your computer, automatically iGive will make a donation to Forever Family Foundation when you shop in one of their 1,500 online affiliated stores. And finally, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with our guest, Dan Sturgis. You can find out more information about Dan and his work on his website, sturgisparanormal.com. So, Dan, obviously, when you're at a lot of these locations, there seem to be certain people in spirit that choose to frequent that particular place, you know, over and over again. So what's your theory as to why certain people in spirit sort of take up residence, it seems, at one location?
Well, that's a great question, and it's something that I always wondered and wasn't able to answer until I started working with mediums, I believe, who have the ability to have this kind of communication. And it seems the answers that we get through the mediums are, again, specifically at the Merchant's House, it's not always the same people that are there. The phenomena happens, and they sort of attribute it to the same person. In Merchant's House, for example, they attribute it to Gertrude, the last surviving member of the Treadwell family that lived there. But it's not always Gertrude. It turns out that a medium that we worked with was able to identify some of the names of the servants, and they said it's mostly us that spend a lot of time here because they loved the house and they took pride in taking care of the house and helping out with the family. Now, some members of the Treadwell family do pop in and out, and you got to remember that these spirits and apparitions are real. They can be anywhere that they want to be just by thinking of being in that place. They're not bound by any of the kind of limitations that we have when you have a body. They are just pure consciousness, and they can be there just by thinking of it. I don't think spirits can get trapped at a location. That really is sort of putting the cart before the horse. I mean, we haven't been able to prove the existence of these spirits. How can we then give them limits and say they can't do this? They're not, they don't have a body. How can they get locked into a place? So I think people will come by. A Merchant's House has a lot of activity around the holiday times. They dress that house up beautifully for Christmas and for the holidays, and the family comes in to check it out, I believe. The servants that work there, specifically Annie McNulty, medium got her name. I had no idea. None of the people that were on the investigation that night knew this woman's name. He got the dates that she worked there, the correct address of the original address of the Merchant's House. The information that he was picking up was beyond anything that anybody on this investigation knew. And by all accounts, these people are just stopping in to check in on the house. They understand what we're doing, and they're interested in what they're doing, and they will come in and watch what we're doing. They're amused by it.
Mm. Can we squeeze in a call here?
Yeah, we have Rachel on line 5.
Hello, Rachel.
Hi there. Hi, Fran and Bob and Dan. This is Rachel from Florida. I have a question. I lost my son 2 years ago, and in the last 6 months or so, we have been doing recorded Ouija sessions with him. We do it in his room. We had been doing previously, but they were not recorded. But we've done over 8.5 hours of recorded sessions, in which one of the sounds that we're hearing after we listen to the recording is what sounded like hummingbird wings. It was like a fluttering sound. And we asked at the next session, is that you making that noise? We hear the sound, and he said yes. I asked him jokingly, is it wings? It sounds like hummingbird wings, and he says yes. Is there a way to determine through a machine like the one that you were pointing to earlier, that you were discussing earlier, is there a way to determine when he's there is my first question. And second of all, is there a way to determine whether a particular spirit is the spirit that you are calling and communicating with, or if it might be another spirit disguising themselves as that spirit?
Sure. Two great questions, and I'm sorry for the loss of your son. The first question, is there a device to determine when a spirit is there? There's no device that's ever been built that can determine whether or not a spirit is there. There are devices like this EMF meter I was telling you about that will measure atmospheric changes. The theory being that when a spirit is at a location, these atmospheric changes will happen. But again, there is no concrete proof. The best device you could have would be a reputable medium, somebody who's got some kind of certification through, say, the Forever Family Foundation or the Winbridge Institute out west, or somebody that you know is legit and has a gift, that would be, for me, your best bet, is find somebody who, find a medium that will be able to tell you whether or not a spirit is in the room. They'll have a better idea. There is no device that's been made, despite what you're going to see on the TV shows and what people are hawking on the internet. There's nothing out there.
Okay.
Your second
answering hours long, I mean, 2.5 hours of questions. This mm-hmm. Ouija board was absolutely, it's stunning. It's just mm-hmm. answering question after question for 2.5
right.
hours. So I know there is a spirit there. It's
right.
just whether
I would
it
be,
is. So that was kind of my second question. Is there any kind of way that you would use if you wanted to identify if that spirit is actually the spirit that you believe you're communicating with, or if it might be another spirit that might be disguising for whatever reason, but disguising themselves as that spirit?
Right. Rachel, another great question and a tough question to answer. Is there something that would make me believe? Yes, I mean, using, like I said before, using a good medium. But because
okay.
it makes me believe that that is the spirit, and you're getting information that you can verify that there's no way anybody else could know this information, phone numbers, dates of birth, you know, private messages. You really have to sort of be like a detective, and but still, that doesn't mean, you know, it's impossible to say, yes, that's 100% that this is the spirit of who I hope it is. I would also be careful with Ouija board stuff, not for any kind of a scary, nefarious kind of reason, but Ouija boards are, you're touching them, and the planchette, you have to touch the planchette for it to move around the board. That just kind of takes any kind of, for me, any kind of proof of spirit communication out, because people are touching it, and there's something called the ideomotor effect, which is unintentional, unperceptive movements that your body makes that will go to where you hope it's going to go, the planchette. It's not...
Right. I do want to add right there that we've got the lights off completely. We only mm-hmm. have a little candle. It's very, very hard to
right.
see. But we're... There are times when we will all lift our fingers off of the planchette completely, and it will still move.
Well, if that's happening, that's pretty amazing, and I would get that on video, and I would love to see it. Your best bet, I like using them; they're fun, but I wouldn't use it for any kind of I wouldn't use it to verify any kind of information, only because you're factoring in the human element. And that just kind of takes the credibility out of it, unfortunately.
I understand. Yeah. Okay, great. Well,
great
thank
question.
You so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Nice talking to you. Squeeze in Brian.
We have another caller. Brian on line 4.
Hi, Brian.
Brian out here in Chico, California. I just have to say your guest said that there was no instrument that can measure whether spirit is present or not, and I have to draw your attention to a book by Dr. Gary Schwartz, PhD at University of Arizona, called The Sacred Promise. He's using a instrument that measures individual photons, and he invites spirit into a room, and the photons dramatically increase. He invites them to leave. The photons go down. It's up and down. He did this where he had a computer tell them when to come and go so that his own personality wouldn't be involved. And, again, the direct correlation of in and out with the presence of spirit.
Right, and I've read about that, and it's cool, it's fascinating, and Gary Schwartz has some great books out there. I've read his books. They're fantastic. But, again, for me, it's proof of photons, not proof of spirit.
That's okay. All. And photons that have consciousness are photons that are just moving in at command?
I can't tell if any of the photons that moved in have consciousness or not. That's impossible for me to say.
Right, but they seem to be acting according to invitation to enter and exit. I wouldn't think something without consciousness could follow an order.
Well, the clip that we played with the EMF meter, that worked on command as well, and for me, it's just not It's not proof of a spirit. That's all.
Well, it's intriguing, and it may be replicated, you know, by other scientists. So it's an avenue to pursue. Thanks, Brian, for calling in. And
just add one more thing, because I think Gary's working on actually creating tiny small rooms where he invites spirit to hop between letters of the alphabet, and it's basically a glorified Ouija board.
Right.
So
like
that the photon
cool
increase. Would trigger the letters of the alphabet as a spirit goes between room to room.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be very cool.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Brian. We've come to the...
You're welcome.
Take care. We've come to the end of the show. Dan, thanks so much for, again, if people want to learn more about Sturgis Paranormal, that's the website, sturgesparanormal.com. Thanks as always, and we look forward to seeing you again soon, Dan.
Thank you, guys, Bob and Fran. I love you guys, and keep up the good work. You guys are really doing amazing stuff, and everybody out there listening needs to support the Forever Family Foundation. You guys are doing fantastic work.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Scott Calzias, Donald Peterson, Judy Pernick, Donna Mello, David Mello, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel Skenderian, Jeanette Davies, Miriam Pierzga, Julie Beischel, Ann Hutchinson, David Hay, Rita Springer, Vicky Steffi, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Eddie Roll, Tom Donahue, Tim Donahue, Harvey, Joe, Andrea, Richard, Brian, Karen, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen Lafada, Wendy Lippo, Doug Berry, Philip McPhee, and Erica. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone and to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say...
Loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.